It's All Things Considered. I'm Jen White. Most of us can probably name several television families, some middle class, some working class, some decidedly upper class. But how do media portrayals of these families affect our ideas about class? Joining me now is Susan Douglas, author, columnist, and cultural critic, also professor of communication studies at the University of Michigan. Susan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So when we look at television portrayals of families, from the Cleavers to the Cosbys, what is middle class according to TV?
Middle class according to TV is a very expansive group. Even people who are, we would think of and would be classified economically as upper middle class, kind of get folded into this very broad notion of middle class. And part of this is because we don't really talk about class.
Have portrayals of families changed in terms of class depictions?
Yeah, you see it sometimes in sync with, or maybe just a little bit behind, what's going on economically in the country. So in the very early years of television, the late 40s, early 50s, there were actually quite a few immigrant working class families on television in shows like I Remember Mama, Luigi, and of course ones that people know more because they were syndicated for longer, like The Honeymoon. And this was a time when the economy was just beginning to pull out of the long years of deprivation from the Depression and the war. And television actually served this almost educational function in showing how ethnic families and working class families were beginning to climb up into this imagined middle class. So by the late 50s and early 60s, these kinds of families were gone. And instead, we had this very white bread, homogenized sort of upper middle class family where there was absolutely no thought of financial need at all. The Cleavers, Ozzie and Harriet, all of these white picket fenced families with this imagined middle class in which the working class was then gone.
So when we leapfrog to television as it exists now, there seem to be a lot of reality shows on the air. How do they impact the way we think about class?
You know, there are so many of these reality shows, the Real Housewives of wherever, you know. And then there were these shows on MTV like Laguna Beach and The Hills and another one called Rich Girls. A lot of them show not even upper middle class families, but pretty wealthy families. And so there is an aspirational quality to that. However, in quite a few of these shows, there's a class resentment built into them. And we see these women on The Real Housewives being superficial and shallow and materialistic. And so are we meant to envy them? Yes. But we're also meant to feel superior to them.
So we have the white picket fences of the 50s, and then we have these sort of extreme ends of the spectrum now. What happened in the interim?
In the late 60s and early 70s, there was actually a pretty strong rebellion against the idealized, fake white picket fence families because, you know, most of us who grew up with that were like, we were looking at our families and we were looking at Leave It to Beaver and we were saying, no. And there was a rebellion against that in part because those shows made us feel bad about ourselves and our families. And there was a push for more gritty social realism on television as a result of the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the women's movement. And so you got All in the Family, you got Sanford and Son, and so on. And those shows were so refreshing.
According to the Nielsen ratings, the average American watches 34 hours and 39 minutes of television a week. With that much viewing, does that change how we think class exists in America?
Yeah, because I think really it elides all of the many class differences that exist in this country. For example, just to take one category of people, rural working class people, they are invisible on television. And so we don't even think about them as existing or being part of any kind of class formation. So there is a lot of erasure of different categories of people. And instead, we have this kind of idealized pan-middle class that allegedly includes, you know, what, 90% of Americans, if you were to watch television. And of course, that's not the case at all. So I think what television helps do is erase class as a category for us to even think about.
When we look at the big picture, though, some people may say, it's just television. Why does it matter whether television accurately portrays class in America?
Well, this is a question and a complaint those of us in media studies always get. Isn't it just television? Give me a break. Well, you know, if people are watching 35 hours of television a week, and if television is reinforcing, along with other media, a particular worldview, research shows that we tend to adopt that worldview and naturalize it. Television naturalizes a kind of common sense about the world. It sprays it into the atmosphere like a mist, and so that we come to accept this common sense as reality, when in fact only certain kinds of people and certain kinds of stories get told on television, and other kinds of people and other kinds of stories are rendered invisible. And when they are repeatedly rendered invisible, we tend not to think about them as existing or mattering.
Susan Douglas is professor of communication studies at the University of Michigan. She's also an author, columnist, and cultural critic. Susan, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.